No.
No, I was going to say, there's so many people here.
Yeah.
Another day.
Yeah, okay.
But I had a few questions. Maybe you could answer. What is this? Talking today.
Yeah, the answer, the answer. Okay.
You were telling some stories about the new life the other time, when you were walking with Father. And did you once say that you had to carry a little bag on the road when you would walk? Did you have to carry Baba's things?
No. That is in the Blue Bus tour. Baba had given Kaushal this bag. It was a biggish bag, you know, a pure leather bag. And there were Baba's very important letters. Letters received from some lovers as well as other letters which I don't know. I haven't seen it. But this, full heavy bag, Kaushal should carry it. Or Baba said not to leave it, even when she's in bed, she must have it near her letters. So she used to look after it, not I.
So in the new life, when you would walk, you didn't have to carry anything?
No, nothing. Just no. And what else?
That's all.
No, Kaushal is carrying
this
very important bag.
I thought like Baba's personal, if you want something to eat or something.
No, no. Eat, no. They couldn't eat even if they were hungry. New life. It was new life.
What happened to all the correspondence that Baba would get over all those years?
Yeah.
Did he keep everything?
How can Baba keep correspondence? Yes, has them all filed.
Everything.
All important, everything filed. Yeah. And at his office, both the filed letters and telegrams also.
Yeah.
You know, speaking about letters, when Baba would, you were in Nasik in the early times, you know, Baba would be away for sometimes even as long as 6 months at the beginning. Maybe.
Never 6 months. Month, 1.5 months. Because Baba would go to Quetta and other places around India and so on.
When he went to the foreign country.
Foreign country, not more than a month, Baba was away.
But he would send you messages like telegrams sometimes and letters.
Yeah, once in a while. Once in a while, and then once he sent his photos that were taken in England, very first time Baba went, you know, those pictures with different poses, you know the set, six of them. And those he sent, Mare and all the ladies. Of course, he doesn't write himself. Mandali, that I remember, Nasik received them. And then very happy to see all these beautiful pictures. Yeah, that was also a month, I think, Baba stayed, not longer. But
on,
was it
1931,
did he go to America?
Yes.
He went to America. I thought it was 32 he went to America.
Oh.
Both times.
First he went to England.
First he went to England, yeah.
But did you ever in your life write a letter to Baba?
Not letter. Poem Baba told me to write in, so I wrote poem. But what a poet I was. Anyway, Baba must have smiled. I was asleep, what would you say? Anyway, I wrote what I felt like and so on. And Baba would write 4 lines, I would send 4 lines. And this, you know, when he was in this
cabin
in Mehrabad that time, after his seclusion and fast was over, that work, and when he used to step out in his own compound, that, you know, the compound around there, not inside the gate, our compound. Just, and that time he was, in a way, how would you say, certain phase of his work was finished, and so he was he could write, but he didn't write himself through the mandali on the board. That time he used to use this alphabet board.
So what was that called?
No, I never kept the papers Baba got. I should have kept his poem even that. No, he would ask for them back, and so I don't have any of his poems. No, it's too many years back now. So that's all. Now what else?
Well, in the '50s also, when Baba went to America in the later years, he would write to you sometimes.
I never write to us. I don't remember that. But when he was in must work in India somewhere, that time Baba sent a letter to Mani. How are you all? How is Mera? Like that. Just a short note. That also Mani would write.
She would send messages back.
No, I don't remember money sending it because we wouldn't know his address there because he was traveling all the time. How are we hope that we are all well, keeping well and obey his orders and keep well and happy and let's. And what else?
I just wondered, what did you do when the women were together doing the Prem Ashram days? How would you spend your day? There's very little written on that.
Yeah. So we had plenty to do. We had to sew our own clothes, but everything we had to do ourselves, you know. We have servants that time. So washing up and dishes, what do you call it? Cooking vessels, utensils. There were some down the hill also, so their chapatis, our chapati, and so many, many chapatis. And so many chapatis go up the hill also, so more, I don't know, 100 chapatis, it took a long time to make. And all morning would be in that, then our personal things also, bathing and washing and whatever. The whole day we were occupied moving around. But our trunks with nice saris, where they were, we had a room that was longer than this. Let me see. Now, breadth wouldn't be more than from this chair where Gemma is sitting, but a little bit lengthwise. And there's two rooms at that. In that room, Baba's trunks are bedding on the floor. We had to roll them up in a gunny sack and the carpet we had in a thin mattress and so on. Very small space. There was in one corner Baba's seat on the floor, seating the carpet and a little tiny mattress, you know, cushion in one corner. And then there was just space enough to walk, and then my bedding here, and corset here, and so on. And the next room was one corner kitchen, one corner with all utensils, one corner, well, you have to put up a curtain and you have to bathe then in that corner. And it was, so we had no space for the trunks. So our trunks were all outside with a lovely saris also, you know? Mm. Silk saris and maybe, yes, I don't know how many. Never mind, there were some expense size also, but all in the trunk, baking in the trunk. And when the and when the rains came, good and hard, oh, then you should see us all rushing out. Oh, let me carry my trunk, oh, please. Because if the water goes in, then that would spoil everything, all the clothes and saris. So that time we were struggling with the trunks and find some space and put them one on top of the other because we didn't need the clothes inside there. So there was no space, but we had to do something about it, you know, and so on. But those days, Baba was in Prem Ashram all the time. Then in Toka, we went to Toka after that. At 26. Let me see. 25 December, we were in Santa Cruz in Bombay. Then from December, we came down to Mehrabad. And so January, February, March, April, May, June. Maybe in July, Baba talked about Prem Ashram or June, I don't know. And so they had to, maybe earlier than that, April, May. But the Mandali, they were sent out to, look for the children, boys to come to Prem Ashram, you know. So they were going even to Persia and all that. So they had to prepare for the Prem Ashram. So many boys Baba wanted, and master, the teachers, and the cooks to be up on the hill. I don't know, Chagan Master cooked, and not just old father and someone else also. They had to cook more than 50 children's food, as well as the men who were attending, you know, the teachers and all the mandalis. There are many up on the hill. So all the food was prepared on the hill. Our food down the hill, all that who stayed with us down in the old bungalow, some were there. I think Padri must be there and others may be there. I don't know about Padri where he was. Because I don't think he was with Prem Ashram. No. So we're down there to look after, to be there, you know, some person has to be there. What would you say? To be in charge of the place and see to everything. And Vishnu was there to bring a bazaar, and some others were there also.
Mara, when you first came to Baba, you were 16?
Yeah, 16. Going on 17, 16, complete.
And did some people, when they came to Baba, didn't bring anything at all? Did you bring anything? Clothes?
Yes, personal things? trunk full of new clothes, Baba said that it would last us for a whole year. So I thought we were all buying new clothes, material, and but my mother went shopping and to the tailors and had things stitched quickly for myself and herself, and she bought ordinary saris to wear in the house, you know, doing work. She knew that do work, so we couldn't do it in silk saris. So cotton saris were bought, and so many things were prepared, and then we packed as fast as we could, and I mean prepared to go to Baba's. Baba sent telegram to say that come as early as you can, but bring one trunk full of clothes that will last you for a whole year, and one bedding. So that was the only possession we had now in the whole world. So bedding and the house, many valuable things, you know, the iron safe, everything, gold jewelry and lumps.
One trunk each, one trunk for all.
Yeah, one trunk for each.
For each person?
Yeah, of course. Okay. For a year, whole year. It has to last.
Yeah.
That's all. And then later, my mother said, we don't think of anything. We just put a big lock to the door and leave it to Baba. Baba will see to everything. And Baba just see to everything. He sent Rustam, you know, Meru's father, to sell the furniture, whatever they did. The two bungalows, one very big bungalow, and one new house, newly built, upstairs and downstairs, three bedrooms and dining room and drawing room. That all was sold. And the horses, the carriage horse was sold, but the white horse was brought, Baba said, to bring it to Mehrabad. So the white horse was with Baba and Mehrabad for quite some time. Baba had Gulmai Puja. I don't know what Gulmai did, the puja was not there, but I was told. Who told us that? I don't remember, somebody told us that. I didn't ever told it, but somebody said, maybe Pendu. I don't remember. So that was it. So in short, you got the whole story. Yeah. But when coming to Baba, didn't I tell you? Kosha told me, no, Baba is to come to Mehrabad, come and go to Mehrabad. So Vishnu Master would come on cycle and let my mother know that Baba is in Mehrabad if he wants to come for darshan. And also Gulmai, we were all in Ahmednagar waiting for Baba to call us, because now we've left everything, now we're staying in Ahmednagar to for Baba to
make preparations
for when to come to stay with him, you know. So
of course,
what is it,
about the pillow,
so we were there waiting, you know, one tiny room, just enough for my mother's bed and a table and chair. And there's a nice bathing room next to her room. And so it was very convenient. The next room was a nice big room. That these two rooms, you know, this small room now, Param is using it. And the next room, they say that I didn't watch this storeroom or something like that. It was very, very nice room with the arch in the middle, like two rooms, but it was one room whole. It was just a plain carpet. Cotton carpet, no furniture, and we girls used to use that. We, in the night, we rested there, and daytime, we stitched and sewed. And when Baba told us to meditate, take Baba's picture or Zarasa's picture and keep your mind on the photo, but then mind is very light, they said, Baba says, it goes back, and you have to wash your clothes or this or whatever you think, never mind, bring it back. And then, so Baba gave us the idea that your mind does travel, you know, so. That way, Baba just gave us a nice training that way. And so we used to be very proud that Baba's given us nice orders to meditate and to write God's name, Yazdan, Yazdan. So we were very happy about it. When we went to Baba, Baba told us to do all this. And first we used to talk to the elders, then he would ask us what we did all day, you know, with those. Because there were families living in the compound. But we never mixed with them. We were quite by ourselves. And Baba told us to stitch, sew shirts for the poor of the village, for the villagers. And so here we were stitching, sewing, praying, and Yazdan, writing. we told each one, you sit in that corner, we don't disturb each other. We felt very important and took it very seriously. Each one different corner, and must meditate and very perfectly. Like, see Yazdan, Yazdan, and write. And stitch shirts. So in the afternoon, my mother would be she had to buy material and cut the shirts, small children's and bigger and then men's shirts. And so when Baba came to Mehrabad, he would ask us how many shows we stitched, and so we'd say, and there were quite 25. Baba said, only 25? No, I want more. So next time I need to we would say, oh, Baba, there's 65. Baba said, no, that's not enough. So we had to do some more till next time Baba asked us more than 100 or something. I don't remember. I was saying, that's right. Then I told my mother to buy prasad. Prasad means puff rice in it, peanuts and chickpeas. Lots of it, because in those days you got plenty of it. You could get anyway 3-4 bags full of these peanuts, maybe 3. I don't know. It has to be enough for the whole, to give the whole of the village people, you know. All this was put in the bullock cart in the morning and sent to Mehrabad to Baba, and so in the afternoon reached there, maybe, I don't know what time. But then Baba told us to come at 4 o'clock. When we came, Baba was playing the drum. So Baba looked so lovely, you know, his hair open. He's always very fair skin, lovely, and when playing, so engrossed in song, devotion song, which we call, what do you call
bhajan.
It? Bhajan. Bhajan, yes. And so Baba loved to sing Tukaram song, you know, very beautiful bhajans. So when we came, Baba said, to wait, he's going to finish his song, then the Baba was playing, and his shirt had fallen on over his shoulder. And the Baba looked very lovely. Yes, and then there were many, all the villagers sitting down. The Baba was on the veranda. Oh, so many of them, the children and men and women and children. It's the post office. Yeah. That's why post office, when it pulled down, we felt so bad. Everything in the very beginning, Baba lived there. The villagers came to know Baba and had his darshan there. I had my first darshan there, Baba. I saw Baba, close quarters there. Everything. Very beautiful. Baba sang Kavali songs and well, he bathed there, slept there. All the time he was living there in that beautiful big room. It was very good condition. Black stones, thick walls and concrete and lovely ceiling and mangalore tile. Very good, because it was post office, means in the military, you know, First World War, the British, they built it. It has to be post office, so it was to be safe and all that. So the big windows, but thick iron bars to the windows. So it was just right for us to come and live in there. And so, what happened?
The villagers came.
Yeah, And so, after Baba had finished the bhajan singing, came and said, turned around, said, which is Baba, mother said, this is children's big stack like that, the others, and the men's shirt and all that. So Baba said, open them. So we were all busy, we girls were there busy opening, and Padri was told to open the, what do you call that, sacks, prasad sacks, you know, gani sacks with puff rice and whatever it is, jean peanuts and all that. So he was opening, then we finished, and then Baba was got himself arranged so that all the clothes on this side and the sacks on this side. I think it was emptied in a big bubble, because Baba was sitting down, he would give, seated, he would give the prasad, but first he gave the poor little child, you know, and then on his lap. Then, if he's 2 years old, then he gave this, what do you call it, a little shirt and prasad, you know. The child was so happy, he would take it to his mother, and mother would take the child on his lap, and the child was so happy eating. And my mother would feel happy also to receive something touched by Baba. So all the children, then the bigger children and so on. Then the men, Baba gave the men twice like this, and all falling on the ground, Baba gave so much. Yeah. And then they went, they were so happy, they said Baba's Jai, and shouting and laughing and singing. So on the way, so Baba told my mother, see how happy they are. Don't you feel happy? Baba said, yes. Baba said, I feel happy to see them all happy like this, you know. This is, to us, it seems just a cotton shirt and this penis and this. For them, it means so much to them. Because it's giving the love from Baba also. And so from that time, and a little before that, they all followed Baba, all the villagers. Before that, they didn't used to come. They wondered, who is this person? You know, we couldn't recognize them, all in white and no hair opening. They could not, and Baba had fair skin, so not one of them, you know. But gradually, Baba's love and his, of course, his personality or his divinity or something drew them to him. So all the villagers then followed Baba. One time they asked Baba to come to the village, and Baba went. They came to
escort
him. So with bhajan and drums and the few people dancing in the front, and they all, Baba walking in the middle, and many following the mandolin, they all went to the village. And there they had aarti and a little chair with flowers on it. I think that crown, you see of Baba's picture in a big crown, I think it was done by the villagers. It's a ready-made thing. I think so. The real thing, I don't know. But I think it was the villagers. Anyway, they all got together to do it, and then Baba was made. Baba said, "Now we eat now." And Baba wants everything finished quickly, and so they say, "Baba, food is being served, and your seat is here." Baba served. Baba, they all have a seat on the floor. On the floor, I mean, not a stone floor, but clean, well swept, and nice, and everything. So Baba's seat was nice, carpet and all that. Is plate was just being served. And Baba said, "Where's my?" And then the, you know, the untouchables, what do you call them? Harijans, they were all the, what do you call them? They were there, so they were separate. And the Hindus, the Malis, and the Kolis, and the Brahmins, and the higher class, Marathas, they were all separate. These were separate aside. And Baba, with the high class people, you know, among the Brahmins, Baba's plate was set and all that. And Baba said, "Where's my plate? Where am I going to have to eat?" So they said, "Baba, here." Baba looked around at that, took his plate, and went to the Harijans, amongst those people who were Harijans, you know, untouchable, we call them. We call them Har and Mang, the very low class people, because they never bathe and they scratch and all that. So Baba went inside amongst them and ate his food. So all these Brahmins and all these high class people, they felt what they must have felt, no? Baba wanted to show that they are also dear to God. Why are you
separate?
So Baba gave them love and, you know, respect, whatever. So that's why the Mahars over in Arangav love Baba very much. You know, you seen the person, what's his name? Yadav Singh? Darkish is Mar, and he sings very nicely, composes songs for Baba in Marathi and Hindi also. He was a little boy when Baba was, when Baba went to the village. He remembers Baba eating with them, then he was in the Premashram or what, the detail I don't know, but he has this impression of how Baba gave them love and respect and whatever made them feel happy. So he has much love for Baba that Baba didn't segregate us like that we are low class and he's high class. Never. To Baba, they're all same, you know. Like to God, all are same, you know, same, all are one. So he sings in at the Dhuni time, I don't know what time, he sings at the Samadhi maybe. But I've heard him only once, twice. Here he sang three times. In Manali's hall also he sang. But we don't see him here, I think he goes for job and all that. We haven't seen, none of you seen him, no?
No.
Darkish, very dark. Very dark and slim fellow.
I think his little boy came to the tomb with some of his friends the other day, his son.
One should have asked those children, whose children, then we can find out.
Well, Nanakya said that this pointed out this little boy, that his father writes beautiful bhajans to Baba.
Ah, the sings,
and comes
same.
And sings at duty sometimes.
Yeah. It must be his children then. It's a good voice, he sings well. He can't sing Kavali songs, but other songs are very beautiful. There's one song is composed on Mehrabad. This is Meher's Mehrabad, but it's in its own language. Sounds nice. Then all that, what Baba did, how he played marbles with us, how he did, it's very, very beautiful. Yeah. I don't remember the whole song, but it's very lovely. Now, what else questions? We'll hear Bill sing. Have you rested?
Yeah, I've been here a week.
When did you come?
A week arrived. I got sick.
For a certain time when he used to wash his hair and all that time he got his tea. But 65, till 65 he used to have tea in the afternoon, come to the dining room, have his cup of tea, money would read to him, a little bit, Baba, he's seated, sometimes play the music, record, you know. gramophone or sometimes radio, transistor. Mm-hmm. Baba was very fond of music, and so then Baba was go to the mandali. But after 65, that is 65, Baba didn't take tea. After washing, say Baba would come to the drawing room and with a chair. On the chair, Baba would sit, and I would be at the back, combing his hair and drying his hair. On a small kerosene stove, I'd give two soft kerchiefs to Gave and to make it warm on the flame. She'd give it to me and then dry Baba's hair behind the ears, with a warm kerchief. Baba liked that. So Baba didn't like it damp. Baba had his hair braided. Then you have to braid it, you have to dry your hair. Just braid your hair with damp and Baba, that nice. And it was cold or chill because Baba's physical, what do you call it?
Physical form,
then cold and coughs, anything like that, you know. So we have to take care of that.
But on the days you didn't wash Baba's hair, you would have tea in the bedroom?
No, or the dining room. But 65, then drawing room. Drawing room. Till then, Baba used to go walking, you know, very slowly, holding my hand, very slowly, Baba's come. Last 5-6 years, Baba could not walk, you know. Osteoarthritis is called. When the bones are hurt, they get the arthritis. And so Baba is very uncomfortable to walk. So it's to be taken a chair to the mandali hall to read correspondence and talk to the mandali to send messages to centers. And Baba is quite busy there. But all the time seated in one corner, you know, Baba get very tired. And when one day he came here, that was 1968, when he came inside the room, in the bedroom, he told us, "I feel very tired," Baba said. I'm thinking of resting for 700 years. Yeah, he said that in 1968, huh? It's the month of October, November, something like that. Mm-hmm. So now what did we know what Baba meant? We thought Baba wants to put it very strongly that he is very tired, means he is really tired, means sitting up there. So we said, Baba, sedentary life is also very tiring, all of them in one place. We get up and walk and we do something, you know, wash our clothes, this and that. Moving around is nice exercise, but sitting down, if you all sort of. So then we said, Baba, if you feel so tired, why don't you lie down a little bit, massage your legs and hands, you know, blood circulation, that will help. Baba said, all right. We said, Baba, money knows to massage your back well, so we call money. So type. What you call correspondence and all that. But money would come often, but money came and then she massaged Baba's back. Baba turned over and she massaged Baba's back very beautifully. She does it. And we were all doing Baba's feet and our legs here. Baba said, "No, enough." And Baba said that, "Now I feel better, I feel nice." Baba said, "Now you all go and finish your work. This K for calm means work. Finish your work." Naja would be still cooking because must do. And Baba's own food separate, our food separate, then Mandali's food. Sloosh had maids under her hands still. And then she would continue. Finished cooking. Baba came very early, 10:45, and so on. Then Baba told everybody who have finished their work must go and finish their work. And just one person stay to massage toes and all that. And that was the last. And last year means, some years later. From 65 on, Baba mostly wanted to. Sedentary life didn't help in any way because his appetite would get less because no exercise. Very difficult for Baba. Not to talk on silence and couldn't walk and couldn't talk. How can you? It's very difficult way to live. And then Baba suffered that way. Upasi Mother told Baba that to give up his keeping silence, he would suffer much if he still keeps silent. Baba said, "Why have I come here? I have come to suffer, to do my work." So even Baba didn't listen to Upasi Maharaj. He had to do his work. His work was very important. The last seclusion work that he used to do here for a whole hour or something, and there also in Mandali's hall. Yeah, he used to be rather pale and tired, but then he did it because his age was not, you know, big for that kind of work, but it was important to him. The mother said, if this work is 100% successful, then is successful, then the destiny of the world depends on this, Baba said. That is, because now Baba has many other ways, he must have done other work also, whatever it is, that we don't know. But this I know, that after dropping the body, so many came, new ones have come to Baba. So many young, new ones come to Baba. It's really, it's like a miracle. But, yeah. There's so many, even before getting married to come, and after getting married again to come. It's really wonderful how they spend. It's really wonderful. Their love for Baba. Or says, the greatest power on earth is love. I have to give more and more, and so it's very greedy about love. God is greedy. Never enough in it. Yeah. See, now you love to see this. Oh, this sort of testing. You like to see this? You like something new. Money is not. I don't know where we got that from. Maybe some American Baba lover must have sent this. I forget now where I got this from. But many strange, I mean, beautiful things are found in Australia, you know? Yeah. Like, now we heard Yen song.
Plum pudding on the
phone. No, turkey dinner. Everybody wants that, you know. I told Kitty also. Kitty, I said, Kitty, want to be a center on Christmas, that you shouldn't miss turkey dinner. She laughed at me that what I said was true. I mean, it was right, it was right. Yeah.
Did you see Mary?
Yes, it's really wonderful to know that. Have you ever eaten the lizard, big lizard, which is what is called? What is it? Salamander. Salamander? Mm-hmm. No, it's that big. Like a crocodile. Big crocodile, that big.
No, I've never eaten.
4 feet, 5 feet. Very tame means very, what do you call it? Doesn't bite or anything.
Tame.
Yeah, very sweet it is. Araba found one somewhere near Baba's hill, I didn't wear there. You know, he went to Mastan and he found this thing. And he brought it here. Baba got very angry and Baba said, take it back and leave it where he found it. This is all near this den, what do you call it? Cave or hole, yeah, home. But why did he bring it and all that?
No pet lizards. He wanted it for supper.
I don't know why he brought it.
Do they live in trees?
And he left it in the drawing room here, in the passage in the room. And the poor thing was all like this. Baba wasn't happy about it. Baba said, why did he win? But he said, I want to show you all the girls, you know. Baba told him, he carried back a big heavy thing. It was, yeah, but very sweet. I like it very much. Because you can see it's very docile. So you don't feel that you're looking at a crocodile. You know, crocodiles don't like it. They don't like crocodiles because they have the big teeth and ugly mouth. But this one very sweet.
Does it eat you?
We eat often. You know, crocodiles, you know, when they relax, they relax with the mouth open.
Yeah.
Why? No. No, the birds come and perch on the teeth and all the flesh, they pick the teeth and they eat also. And crocodiles get the teeth clean. A toothpick. That's what it is. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And no, he would not eat the bird. It would not fill his tummy. Why should he eat the bird?
Too much.
He wants bigger prey. Too many feathers.
tickle their stomach.
Yeah. No. But you know, we had very lovely books sent from England. Dealers sent called Wildlife or. Country life, I don't know what it was called. Anyway, a small magazine, but such beautiful and true stories in it. And you may call it, what is escapade? What is escapade called? What does it mean, escapade? Or adventure.
Adventure.
But dangerous. So, and true to life. So wonderful. Baba had Rano read to Baba every day. None these last many years. Much long time. I mean, was it now? I say, 61, maybe 61. 60, 61. I think so that time. No, what is that time? I don't remember, 59, 60. Really very wonderful. Why, from the clock that I remember. Now this person, British are very exploring people and hunters and whatnot. So he went to Africa, this British person who, to hunt. So he went through the forest and then a huge lake came. So he was very fascinated to see the very, very huge lake. So he sat by the, bank. And then he saw some waters move, and so the crocodile must have smelt him. Or smelled him with a human flesh or something. I don't know. The crocodile put his head, so he thought it was an ordinary crocodile. So he washed, and so when he washed, this crocodile was 30 feet long.
Oh.
That is more than this granddad would have been.
That's incredible.
30 feet, I just still remember 30 feet. Baba said, how can it be? Then Baba said, wasn't this long as this room or what? And Baba tried to, measure or something. Rana said, I couldn't tell Baba, the 30 feet is so, how big his tail, how big his head, how, and how much he wants to eat that crocodile to keep alive. So that was also very bad. I don't know if that person shot it or not, that I don't know. But other things, so wonderful to hear about. This British person, some other British person was in this place somewhere, and the natives of African natives came running to him to tell him, oh, please come to our village and rid us of this man-eating, maybe not tiger, lion, I think, lioness. So he said, oh, yes, fine, then I can do that. So he came and hid himself somewhere and so on. The night came. Man-eating means very dangerous. It's just to break through a door that would be not so very strong. Or if the devotees came out to attend nature and things, then if early morning, 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, I don't know what o'clock, 5 o'clock, or so, you should wait and should be eating, killing that man. So these people were very worried. And this person, British person, then he had this rifle, double barrel and whatnot and so on. And when he watched, he waited and saw this lioness come and smell, sniff here, sniff there. Now what do you think? There was not one lioness, there were six of them. Six of them, what a havoc they must have made in the poor villagers. So how he got all the six of them, we don't know. But by some clever trick, he had to get rid of them. So this was really, the way it's written, the whole story, and how then when this old man went out, and how poor thing was, how he's eaten her. Or everything right in detail is terrific to read. It was fascinating. Anyway, then that, and there's another very outstanding. Many there were, but this one or two I remember. One such a British person was in Africa, and for ivory they kill, elephants. So that forest he went, very brave. So he had an African servant, you call him, a bearer, who carried his knapsack and his other gun and whatever there was. And so this man was carrying. And then this British went. But all of a sudden, behind a very huge tree, such a way it was that he couldn't see from there, the elephant came towards him so fast that he had hardly time to lift his rifle. And the elephant threw him down. And being wild elephant, they are like that. Threw him down, and the elephant bent on his knees like this. Oh. And with this head, with his two tusks, he wanted to kill this man. The tusks, you know, what do you call them? Tusks? Yeah. His teeth long and this huge head. So they, press them. Kill him that way. But the miracle happened. But he might have got the man somehow, but his tusks were so long that when he put his head to the ground, the tusks were on the ground, keeping his head away from the man just an inch, less than half an inch, just as good, because he would have dug in the ground deeper with this thing and he might have killed that man eventually. But the black person, who was he? The African, he saw his master being in such a state, he didn't want to help, but I must help him. So he got the other rifle that was loaded and he started shooting at the elephant from the back, and he saved his master that way. Because the elephant turned on him, and when the elephant turned on him, then the master quickly got up And with his gun, then he shot also both. But between the two, the wild elephant was killed. But it was written so beautifully that he was just fascinated and breathtaking. Baba loved these stories of Wild West. Why not Wild West? What do you call it?
Wild Africa.
Deepest and darkest Africa. Once we were in Belgium, and Elizabeth had given Baba a new De Soto, a very beautiful car, you may call it. But it was so beautiful that 8 people very comfortable could sit in it. And if 10, never mind, it would be like this, but all fit in, and it was like a huge car. I don't know, you may not call it a wagon. What do you call it? A station wagon.
Station wagon.
It didn't look like that. It looked like a huge, big, lovely car, you know, beautiful design and all that. But wonderful to her, she got 2. One was blue and one was green. She said, Baba travels and this and that. She was in Satara. So from Satara, all the women will have to come and they... Noreen and Elizabeth and the girls and all will travel with Baba to Mehrazad here. Whatever she had this idea, she was really like this for Baba. So on. So Baba only used one green one. What was I saying? Yeah, we went to Belgium. So we very first Baba wanted to use this, and so we went to Belgium. Baba had some reason to go to Belgium, so we accompanied myself. Who was it? Katie? And Mani and myself is there, maybe covering Katie. What Belgium, what did I want to say?
Africa.
It's a very ordinary story. What happened that very few of us went Baba to Belgium. It's a very far away from Satara, but we made it by 4 in the evening or 5 in the evening, I don't know, because the roads are very bad also. Anyway, we came there. 5 o'clock and all that, we ate and whatnot and all that. And Baba said, "Now, how to spend the evening? We go to pictures. What picture shall we go?" And Elizabeth said, "This is nice, darkest Africa." And Baba, fine, we go to the. I'm going to tell you what. Never mind. We got inside the picture house and the picture started. We looked at it. Some interesting part might come just now. Just now it will work up to be interesting. But nothing interesting took place, nothing interesting. It was so stupid, they have no idea. They made a white girl to be the queen of those people had called this white girl, and they sort of not worshipped her, but made a queen and on the but it was thrown and whatnot, and how they paid homage and what were they doing, I don't know. And it was so dry and so uninteresting. Baba said, "Elizabeth, is this a picture of you?" Elizabeth said, "No, Baba, I'm now regretting that we came at all. There must have been other picture houses. Better pictures, but I was fascinated by the title, Darkest Africa." So we saw Darkest Africa.
Boring.
No, very boring. We all came out tired. As if we had been into Africa and come back. It was not nice at all. So that's how they make money in this. What do you call them? Cinema. What do you call them? Another thought. What do you call them?
Theater
owners. Producers. Stupid pictures to produce. What are these? There's not no meaning in it, huh?
And he said Baba traveled all over the world, but he didn't go to Africa.
Africa didn't. That's why he went to see Africa in the pictures. But he didn't go to Africa, he didn't go to Russia. Baba went to China.
Yeah. South America.
Yeah. He didn't go to South America, no? And Canada, he's been to Canada. He's been to Japan, China, Australia, Hawaii. What do you call it? Honolulu, Hawaii. What do you call it?
Hawaii.
Egypt. Baba always, after his tour and around the world and going here to there, America, everywhere when he came back, he would only talk of Cairo. He would say, Baba said, "I love Cairo. That one place I love it." So now I think maybe next time when he takes come and he might be born in Cairo. I just got the idea the other day. You know, see, the Baba always liked Cairo.
Did he go to Israel?
I don't think so, no. Baba, no. At the time of Jesus, I think Baba had enough of Israel.
But Cairo's sort of, it's kind of like India, but it's simple.
No, it is Mormon style, very beautiful, architecture, mosques and buildings and whatever. It's very beautiful, they say. It's quite different from any part of the world, this water. It's not modernized with the skyscrapers, I think that's why Baba liked it. Baba always said very nice.
Rob has been to Cairo and he hated it.
Yes. Robert is here. You?
Yes.
Yeah, Baba loved it. Oh, because it was not your type, all Mormon food, Muslim food was there.
No,
good food.
Maybe in 1930s, it was very beautiful, but in
1930s. Now it is. Yeah. Oh, now
it's all slum. It's really all slum.
Yeah. Dirty.
But it's got beautiful mosques. The mosques are really fantastic. The mosque of Muhammad Ali,
I don't know. Anyway, Baba liked it. What did Baba like about it? What did Baba like? Very much. And then he talked about Honolulu, how when the steamer comes, how these girls flower and they come and play the guitar, sing, and.